And what a joy it is to be in the house of God with the people of God. Let me get centered a little bit here, right? And to worship God in the name of the Son of God and the power of the Spirit of God. Amen? It's what a joy. This morning, I just want to share with you from the bottom of my heart and also from Pastor Steve's heart that we are so grateful for your prayers. I want you to know we really appreciate your prayers. I want you to know we really, really, really need your prayers. And lastly, I want you to know that we sense your prayers when you pray for us. Having said that, can we pray together? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it is our prayer this morning that as the deer pants for streams of water, so will we desire you. Desire your person, desire your presence, desire your power. Oh, Father, transform us from glory to glory in the light of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray, and God's people say, amen. I want you to know we're doing things a little bit differently this morning. Our scripture reading is going to come up in just a second. But I want to start out right away with some Bible trivia. So let me put on my glasses so that I can see the people way in the back and also the people in the front. That's how much I need my glasses. Because I know some of you know the Bible very well. In fact, I venture to say that we have many, many Bible scholars in here. I do. So I just want to test you right away this morning and want to start out with this question right now. Which one out of the four most celebrated events in the life of Jesus Christ is the least celebrated? Now, don't shout it out. I think you're getting some help from the screen right now, which is not fair. Everybody's a scholar at Mayfair Bible Church, especially the tech sound system right there helping us out. But I want you to think about it. In fact, let me give you a multiple choice scenario. Does that help you besides the screen? All right, let's start out. Is it the event where we celebrate the birth of Jesus? We call that Christmas. Is it that one? All right, that's what I like. Thank you so much for being interactive and helping me out. So it's not Christmas. So therefore, I want to ask you, is it the crucifixion of our Lord where we celebrate his death for us? Is it that? I knew you guys are so profound. I want to ask you now, is it the resurrection of our Lord where we celebrate his victory over death when he rose gloriously? So when we say he's risen, you guys say? I don't need to preach anymore. You already got it. So it's not the celebration of his birth. It's not the celebration of his crucifixion. It's not the celebration of his resurrection. Therefore, I want to ask you, is it the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Give yourselves a hand, you guys. But let's be honest. Because we're in God's house, we need to be honest. And even when we're not in God's house, we need to be honest. I want you to know that. That was an easy question. Right? It sure was. I think, and I've been praying about this, and I've been asking questions and trying to find answer. I really think that a more difficult question might be, why? Why is it that the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ is the least preached, the most neglected, the least celebrated event of his life? I want to know why. How about you? I really do want to know. I was thinking about it. My wife is my witness. I pondered these things in my little tiny head. I do. And I came up with four possible answers to solutions to the problem. Well, they're not really solutions. It's just answers that I came up with. Why? Number one, I think it's because we don't know how important the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ is. Nor do we see the connection that exists of the ascension with the resurrection, with the crucifixion and the incarnation and all the inscriptions that I could put in there. We don't. And the reason we don't is because we don't preach about it that much. How many of you have ever heard a sermon, a message on the ascension of Jesus Christ? Very few. I'm telling you, I had a hard time doing my research. I had a hard time learning. I went to some commentaries, it just went right over. They didn't even mention it. But I'm here to tell you, it is essential. I'm here to tell you, by the end of this morning, you're going to be joyful, rejoicing, and worshiping Jesus because he ascended and went through the heavens and sat down at the right hand of the majesty. And he did that so that you can know that your salvation is secure forever and ever and ever. Amen to that. But then I was thinking about it. Maybe it's because it takes 40 days. It takes place 40 days after the resurrection, and by that time, we've already moved on to other topics. I told you I was going to be honest. In fact, I was talking to Adeline, and she said, well, number two and number three, which I'm about to share with you, they are related. If you do your math and you count 40 days, this year, it would have been on May 18th. And you know what happens on May 14th, everybody? On Sunday, May 14th is Mother's Day. So we have a conflict, right? I'm just being honest. I told you I was going to be honest. But then I came up, after much pondering, in fact, I even prayed about it. I came up with the reason that I think is the right answer. If you don't agree with me, that's okay. You could be wrong. This is it right here. I think it's because the news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so great. Amen. The news of the resurrection, that he who died for me was placed in a tomb, rose again victoriously, is so awesome, so marvelous, that we don't think it could possibly get any better, right? You are here saying, that's as good as he gets, but I'm here to tell you from God the Father, he's saying to us, wait a minute, it does get better. It doesn't stop there. Our scripture this morning is going to be a harmonized section of scripture. The reason I do this is because we're going to be reading from the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And whoever wrote the book of Acts is the same person who wrote the book of Luke. In fact, Luke started the book of Acts the way he ended the book of Luke. So we've harmonized the scripture. So you might see some repetition, but I did this because I want us to get a complete view of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. So starting on verse 50, Luke 24, the Bible says, then he, that is Jesus, led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hand, look what he did, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was carried up into heaven. After he has said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Verse 10, while he was going, they were gazing into heaven. Now, if you would have been there, you would have been gazing too. And suddenly, two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus, I love that, this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. And go back to Luke 24, verse 52. After worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great, say with me, joy, and they were continually in the temple complex praising God. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem. This is one of those events that I wish I could have been there when it took place. Does that happen to you when you read the Bible? I mean, when you get in the Old Testament, you really get into it, and you see when God used Moses to open up the Red Sea, and I say, I wish I could have been there. I don't know if I could have handled the crucifixion. I think I would have passed out but the resurrection, I wish I could have been there. I wish I was the one who wrote the little note that said, he is not here, he is risen. I wish I could have been there. And I'm here to tell you, I wish I could have been there with the disciples gazing into heaven as Jesus is lifted up and taken up, and the clouds takes him, and the angels proclaim, this Jesus, yes, I'm not talking about anybody else, no one else, but this Jesus is coming back again in the same way in which you saw him go. Now, I told you not many people talked about this, but there was one person that I did read, and John MacArthur Jr. says this: you should never talk about the crucifixion. All right, let me back up. Yeah, he did say it this way: you should never talk about the crucifixion without talking about the resurrection. But he didn't stop there. Then he said, you should never talk about the resurrection without talking about the ascension, because these things are interconnected. These things are essential, and you only get the complete view when you put it all together. Now, I got to let you know from the get-go that this morning we're only going to get a glimpse of it. All right, I hope you're okay with that, because I don't think we could really get it all. But I read in my Bible that there was a lady who said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, the fringe of his garment, and it happened. So this morning, if you would, spiritually speaking, we're only going to touch the hem of the garment. We're not going to go full blast in it. But I want you to know that the fact of the matter is this: there is an ascension, because first there was a descension. And there is an incarnation, because he who was in the form of God took the form of a servant, was born of a virgin, an incarnation in humiliation. And because there was an incarnation in humiliation, there was a crucifixion in passion, meaning suffering. And because there was a crucifixion in passion, there was a resurrection in glorification. But it doesn't stop there. Because there was a glorification in the resurrection, there is an ascension that leads to coronation of the Master Christ. So I want to share quickly with you four words. Don't get scared. I said four, yes. Four words, which I turn into 3 points, combined the last two words into one, that would help us get a glimpse, if you would, of the glorious event that we call the ascension of Christ. Number one, elevation. I don't know if you got a glimpse of the beauty of the passage that we just read. Did you get to see how beautiful that passage of Scripture is? I love that he says that Jesus leads them to the place where he was going, to the Mount of Olives. And it says that Jesus blesses them. It kind of brings echoes of what he has said before: follow me. And he's leading them, and they're following him to this glorious event, and he blesses them. In other words, the one who died for us also walks with us. And that was true not just for them. I'm here to tell you that he walks with you, and his Spirit is in you, and his Spirit testified that he's not left you alone. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Did you notice the beauty of it? This leading, this blessing, this staring, this worshiping, this rejoicing, this taking up in elevation of Jesus. I am telling you, I wish I could have been there. And when I get to heaven, I have a request: Father, all things are possible for you. Can you play a DVD or something for me to watch it? I want to see this. I really do. Now, I want you to know that preparing for this message, I have to be honest with you, I watch a lot of movie clips and a lot of cartoons. I know what you guys are thinking. Is that what you're doing in that office, Pastor Garcia? Well, but before you judge me too quickly and too harshly, please allow me, and too prematurely, by the way, allow me to explain what kind of movie clips I was watching, okay? I was watching movie clips of movies of Jesus to see how they portrayed the ascension of Christ. And I was watching cartoons to see how they portrayed it. And I'm here to tell you, I was disappointed most of the time, because some of the movies did not even include the resurrection. How could you end with the grave? But let me say now, Most of the movies included the resurrection, but most of them did not include the ascension. I was disappointed too. How could you end just at the resurrection when there is an ascension related to the resurrection, related to the crucifixion, related to the incarnation, related to the descension of Christ? Oh, don't get me going. I was getting upset. So I was watching these things to see how Jesus ascended. And I tell you, I would tell you who won. You want to know which one did the best job? A cartoon named The Bible Book. They really, some of you watch it, right? Man, they really nailed it. They went right by the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. That's what I'm talking about. Stay with the Bible. I remember, and I don't know if I made this saying famous. It's not mine. I just saw it, and I took it for me. And it's this. Do not judge a book by its... No, that's not my saying. That's someone else's saying. Right? It's a good one, too. I'm not denying that. But do not judge a book by its movie. Yeah. Let me say it this way. Do not judge the Bible by its movie. I mean, there's so many people that watch movies and they come up with weird stuff, and you as a Bible teacher or a Thrive Group leader or an Equip Course leader, did you get that from the Book of Imaginations? Where'd you get that? Hezekiah somewhere? Or where? It's not in the Bible, but they saw a movie and they thought that's the way it was. No, there is no substitute, let me get it right, no substitute in Spanish, sustituto, for the Bible. It's the Bible, my friends. It's His Word. It's not just ink and paper. It's not just words to read. How many of you know it's a letter of love from up above? Special delivery. Amen. Did you know that we can actually date the ascension of Christ? I told you when it's going to be this year, just 4 days after Mother's Day. 40 days after the resurrection. And you probably, if you're anything like me, I know that's a scary thought. You're wondering, why didn't Jesus ascend immediately into heaven? If you read Luke, it says in the book of Acts, it says that Jesus stayed for 40 days before He ascended. But why would He do that? Well, the late evangelist Billy Graham had an answer to that question. He had the answer to the question, why didn't Jesus ascend immediately after His resurrection? In fact, this answer is three, and I'm just going to give you the glimpse of it too, okay? Just the top of the sweetness of the answer, because we do not have time to go into it like he does when he writes. But number one, he says Jesus stayed 40 days to demonstrate to His followers that He was truly alive. Think about that. If you would have seen the crucifixion, you would have been traumatized. You would have. And maybe He appeared to you once and you go, I think I was dreaming. Or maybe like Thomas, you were not in the room. And he said, unless I see the mark of the nails in His hand, unless I put my hand in His side, I will not believe. Watch out what you ask for. So Jesus, throughout this 40-day period, is proving that He rose without a doubt. Number two, He says He appeared not just to His disciples. I mean, they needed it. But I love the fact that Jesus took time for those ladies that came to the tomb. Amen? I just love it. And one thought that Jesus was the gardener. And she said, please tell me where you placed His body. Tell me where you placed my Lord. And He calls her by her name, Mary. And she says, Rabboni, God knows you by your name. And He appeared to Mary Magdalene, and He appeared to the other ladies, and then He appeared to those who were walking to Emmaus. Then He appeared to Peter one-on-one. Last week, what did we do? We had breakfast with Jesus at the Sea of Tiberias, and Peter, hey, Jesus was there for you. And then if you read the Bible, it says that at one point, Jesus appeared. This is great, and please make a note of it. If you didn't know this, Jesus appeared to more than 500 brothers at one point in time, at the same time. Now, I want you to think about this, because in those days, when they counted people, they didn't count women and children. I believe there were possibly way more than just 500, but that's just me. So Jesus demonstrated he was truly alive. He appeared to various groups, and then Billy Graham says he did it because he needed to teach his disciples and prepare them for the task of telling the world about Jesus Christ, of evangelizing the world. Now, that's Billy Graham. He's at a whole different level. I don't even measure to his ankles. But I came up with my answer. You want to hear my answer? Anybody? Thank you. I know you just said, oh, Pastor Garcia, Billy Graham's good enough for me, you know. And we don't need you now. All right, but for those of you who love me, I like to add my 2 cents worth. Like I think Tom Wrench is one of your sayings, I think 2 cents worth, huh? But I need to remind you, I am not as eloquent nor sophisticated as Billy Graham is, okay? Because I think that Jesus being around for 40 days, listen to me, I'm just going to let it rip. I'm going to tell you right now, it was the greatest in your face that it ever was. Think about it. Just imagine the conversations that were taking place during those 40 days. The Sanhedrin, the Praetorian, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. I got a sanctified imagination. I wrote down what I thought they might have been speaking about. Say, hey, guys, you know how you pay the guards that were watching the tomb to testify, to bear witness of what they saw while they were sleeping? Remember that? Those people testified what they saw while they were sleeping. Well, there is something going on this last 40 days. We got a lady called Mary Magdalene saying that she saw Jesus at the garden. Ah, don't worry about her. She's got a bad reputation. You don't have to worry about her. But yeah, they're saying that he appeared to his disciples. Oh, that bunch of people, they won't do anything. Ah, don't worry about them. Yeah, but we got people saying he showed up and made them breakfast. We got people saying that he walked miles with them all the way in the road to Emmaus. And when he got that, he sat down to eat, and they recognized him and then disappeared. And then we got about 500 people, and you know, we don't count women and children. This is going out of control. Everybody's saying, Jesus is alive. Everybody's saying, and we are in trouble. Let me tell you, church, Mayfair Bible Church, that's something that we've been proclaiming for over 2,000 years, and I'm not going to stop saying it. Jesus is alive. Jesus está vivo. Now, I use the word elevation, and I hesitate in using that. I know the word elevation means ascension, going up, taking up, but I'm just so glad that God did not use an elevator. I need to let you know I had so many bad experiences with elevators. I can't tell you all the experiences. I just give you a glimpse. I've gotten stuck in an elevator. I was going to fight my childhood bully in an elevator, one-on-one. Pastor Garcia, I didn't know you were a fighter. I wasn't always a Christian, but if somebody's going to come beat me up, I'd fight. I mean, he slapped me on the face, and I turned the other cheek, and I said, I have no further instructions from the Lord. I'm running, or you're doing something. But one day I'll get a chance to tell you that. But I hesitated to use that because my wife is acrophobic and claustrophobic. That means she's afraid of heights and afraid of being in a small place with people. So I asked her, how do you do this? Because I know we get on an elevator, you get really close to me. I just think you're getting romantic or something. Oh, I still got it, yeah. It's not you, Angel. I'm acrophobic and claustrophobic. But I am honestly telling you, I'm glad. In fact, I just share one true story. And I'm going to share it because I've been thinking a lot about my mom who is in heaven, Norma. And Carrie, you were just talking about her, and we used to call her Lalita. And you didn't know I was going to say this, so it was just like confirmation. My mom was born in the Dominican Republic. I was born in Puerto Rico. My father is from Puerto Rico, my mom from the Dominican Republic. And then when I was a teenager, they brought me to the state. And behold, this is the mess that I've created. But one of her wishes was to go and see Niagara Falls. So when we went to Flint, we moved from New England to Flint, my mom came. And guess what? This little angel, no wings, no halo, did. Together with my wife and my three little girls that were little then. We took Norma, that was her name, Lalita, her nickname, and everybody called her Lalita. We took her to Niagara Falls. And because she was a little bit older, we decided, oh, let's rent a room. We're not going to, let's rent a hotel near to the falls. So we did, and the hotel had, guess what, an elevator. So my mom stayed up in the room, and the girls said, Dad, I want to go to the pool. You know how, okay, we'll take you down. We're watching the girls. They play. Okay, it's over. Come on, we got to go eat now. We get in the elevator, my wife and the three girls, Evelise, Aisling, and Crystal. And the elevator, I kid you not, opens the door at the wrong floor. As soon as the door opened, it hit me like a plague in the face. Boom! The smell of marijuana was all over the place. Somebody was getting high, did not use an elevator. I mean, so as a father, you know what I did? You didn't know I had wings, but at that moment my wings came out like this. Girls, don't get out there. Stay here. This is not our floor. Stay in here. The door closes, and I felt like a hero. And I'm feeling like a hero, and I hear this little tiny voice from one of my girls that said, Dad, how do you know what marijuana smells like? True story. True story. You think that's a good story? David Jeremiah, Pastor David Jeremiah, is my wife's favorite preacher, which breaks my heart. I thought I was her favorite preacher. True? Check him out. She's interpreting over there. I'll get it when I get home. But he has a better story. I don't think it's true, but I think I let you know. He tells a story. This is Pastor David Jeremiah. Some of you listen to him, and some of you watch him online, or you've seen him in person. We have too. We've been watching for years. Just like Charles Stanley, one dear to us, he's in heaven now, Brother Charles Stanley. But he said this story, I never forgot it. He said, some people went and got a hillbilly who had never been in a big city like New York City. You know, New York, big city dreams, never been to New York before. This is what you're going to see. So they took him to see the skyscrapers. In Spanish, rascacielos. He never seen a skyscraper. I think he ever even seen a car. He was really from the hills. And he goes in there in the Empire State Building. He's looking around. And there are elevators there, if you've been there. And he's watching. He'd never seen this thing before. And as he watches, a lady, maybe 98, 90 years old, 99 years old, is walking, struggling to get in. And the door opens. The lady gets in the elevator. The door closes, the hillbilly is watching this. And about 2 minutes later, a beautiful 19-year-old, gorgeous teenager walks out of there. It's like, oh, I got to go get my wife. They have a time machine here. I'm here to tell you, when he comes for us, he doesn't need an elevator. I'm here to tell you, that's the reason Christians say we're looking for the upper taker, not the undertaker. We're looking up for his return, because the angel said, this Jesus is coming back the same way in which he said it. Number two, second word, coronation. That word means crowning. You remember how I told you that the early church, I don't know if I told you, but I'm going to tell you now, that the early church used to sing hymns of ascension? Maybe you didn't know that. And in fact, let me just say this, because it's important. Jesus spoke of his ascension throughout his ministry. He told them in John chapter 6, what if you've seen the Son of God ascended into heaven and be at the right hand of the Majesty? Then he told them in John chapter 14, John 15, John 16, John 17, it is for you to rejoice because I returned to my Father. But they were so caught up into themselves that they were not even thinking about Jesus. And then Jesus said, well, if you're not thinking about me, maybe you need to realize it behooves you, is more advantageous for you for me to go and return to my Father, because if I go, I'm going to send another one like me. I'm going to send you the helper. I'm going to send you the comforter. I'm going to send you the promise of the Father. So Jesus, throughout his ministry, kept talking about the ascension. It's important, the ascension of Jesus Christ. But now that I said that, I want you to realize that the early church had hymns of ascension. Really, Pastor Garcia, you have any proof? I mean, you said you read the Bible. Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked. I'll give you one. Write it down on a piece of paper if you have your program. 1 Timothy 3:16 is actually a hymn that the church used to sing. It said, why did the church do that? Well, about 80% of the early believers were illiterate. They didn't know how to read. They didn't know how to write. So when the Bible says read it to the church, it wasn't just because they didn't have a copy. Maybe there was just one copy of the manuscript, but most of the people couldn't read it, so someone had to read it to them. So what they did was they taught them doctrine by singing the doctrines of the Bible so they could remember, and they would sing it. That's why it's so essential that when we sing based on the Bible. That's why it's so essential that when we sing songs, they glorify God because it's based on his word. That's one of the reasons why I love the hymns of the faith. Anybody here with me? Yes, hallelujah, because you learn so much. So the early church had this hymn in 1 Timothy 3:16. By the way, do a study one day when you get a chance. This is free, besides. Study every verse in the New Testament that starts with 3:16, John 3:16 and so on all the way. You'll be amazed. So here's a 3:16 verse, 1 Timothy. Now watch this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Check it out. God was manifested in the flesh. That's the incarnation. Justified in the spirit. That's the resurrection. Seen by the angels. Preached among the Gentiles. Believed in the world. And received up in glory. There is the ascension of Jesus Christ. When the early church would say this and they memorized it and they started singing it, it was like you and I singing Handel's Messiah. Amen? And I love that. It was like they were singing to glorify God and to be used by God. I think of when Handel's Messiah says, King of kings, Lord of lords. I wish you guys would join me, but let's not do that today. I mean, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ah, you ascend some way or another, and you start glorifying the one who's crowned in heaven as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It's like saying, all hail to the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the what? The royal diadem and crown him what? Lord of all. That's what he's talking about here. See, the ascension of Jesus Christ is where he was restored and returned to his rightful place to be with the Father on his throne. Check this out. Exchanging humiliation for glorification. Exchanging the cross for the throne. Exchanging the crown of thorns for the crown of glory. When Jesus ascended into heaven, it was the exclamation point. A whole heaven itself. It was as if the Father is putting the seal of approval, the seal of victory, the seal of joy that what Jesus has done has glorified the Father. That what Jesus has done has brought propitiation and satisfaction to the wrath of God. His sacrifice is complete. His resurrection brings justification. And his ascension brings coronation. So the Father crowns him Lord of Lords. There's also another hymn. I better do this quickly. In Philippians 2, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but just listen. It says, therefore, God also has highly exalted Jesus, him, and gave him, Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, say with me, that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Greek, Jesus Christ is Kurios. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. Jesus Christ is the God who deserves all worship, all honor, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. I gotta say this quickly. I remember preaching about this 11 years ago at Eastgate Baptist Church. I was invited to preach, so I went and preached. And I remember that I was preaching about this If I remember right, I entitled the message, Catch You Later. Subtitle, You Can Run, But You Cannot Hide. And 3 points were, Hear Me Now or Believe Me Later. Bow now or bow later. Pay me now or pay me later. And you said, what are you talking about? Let me explain it to you since you're asking. I've met many people that said, well, Brother Angel, no wings, no halo. You guys go to church and you, this joy. And you guys do all these activities and you feed each other because Christians like to eat. And you sound good and you can say, sometimes you make me laugh. But I do not believe in your Jesus and I'm not going to believe you now. Let me tell you, it's coming a day when you don't need me to tell you because you're going to see it face to face. And that time you're going to believe later, but it might be too late. I met people say, I'm not going to bow my knee to that Jesus. I'm not going to confess him as Lord. Never, never, never. You can run, but you can't hide. One day, every knee is going to bow of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Even Satan and all their minions will have to bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ is Lord. As Jesus is elevated to the heavens, a cloud took him out of their sight, and they could no longer see him. But by the revelation and the inspiration of Scripture, God has removed the veil so we could see what happened when Jesus went to the heavens. And I'm just going to have to, because of time, for brevity's sake, just tell you. The Bible says in Hebrews, for to which of the angels did God say at any time, thou art my son, you are my son, today I have begotten thee? For which of the angels, has he ever said that? It's a rhetorical question. It needs no answer because the answer is no one, not one. But of the Son, he said, when he introduces the firstborn into the creation, into the universe that he created, he says, this is the Father calling the Son God. He says, thy throne, O God. This is it. God the Father proclaims Jesus as God because Jesus is God and he sits on the throne. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. The ascended Lord is our heavenly. He is our heavenly mediator and high priest. Don't you love that? And I love this because Jesus is able to be your mediator, my mediator, because he's both God and man. And that's precisely what the Bible says. He's able to do so because he could mediate between God. He is the Theanthropos, the God-man who's sitting at the right hand of the majesty mediating for you. He's holding all things by the power of his mouth. And he himself purged our sins and sat down, the Bible says, at the right hand of majesty on high. Why is that important to me, Pastor Garcia? Because the coronation speaks of your identification and our position in Christ. I don't have much time to elaborate it, but because Jesus ascended above everything else, the Bible now says that positionally in Christ, we're seated together with Christ in high places. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Because Jesus mediates and he's a mediator that does not need to be replaced like the Old Testament priests in the Old Testament because they were human beings and they would die. No, no. The one who seated at the right hand of God, the one who seated on the throne right next to majesty, he lives forever to ever make intercession for you and me. We never have to doubt that we're securely saved in him. We never have to doubt that we're going to be alone. We never have to doubt that we're going to be forsaken because he lives forever. And he's seated at the right hand of God. Now, let me quickly wrap this up. Two words, anticipation, initiation. We've seen the elevation. We touched the fringe of the garment, the hem of the garment on the coronation because, I mean, there's so much there. But let me tell you about the anticipation and initiation. If my generation, I consider myself, even though I was born in the 60s, I consider myself, as young people looking at me, you're that old? Yes. I'm from the last century. I'm not even from the 21st century. I'm from the last century. I consider myself from the generation of the 80s. Anybody else in the house? Yeah, I know. You're the ones who laugh at all my jokes and understand all my music and stuff because you lived it, right? But if anything describes the 80s generation, here it comes, is the bumper stickers. You had one. I remember in the 80s, every Bible-believing Christian who had a car had a bumper sticker on the car. Amen. I had a few myself. And you remember one of the most popular ones was the one that said, honk if you love Jesus. And you went and you honk, and you realized that the guy that was driving did not love Jesus. He got mad at you. But my favorite one was the one that said, in case of rapture, this car is going to be unmanned. By the way, you may not have that bumper sticker, but that's still true. When he comes for me to elevate us, to take us up, to be with him, to catch us up, to rapture us up, to snatch us up to his glory, I'm not taking my car. You could keep it. I'm not taking my house. You could keep it. I'm not taking anything. I'm just going. He said, follow me. He came for me. Bye-bye. Adios. Hasta la vista, baby. 1980 people got that one. True story. Last Friday, I had one of the best days I've had here at Mayfair Bible Church. Was it because it was Friday? No. I know you love Fridays. TGI Friday, yeah. But it was one of the best days because I got to visit five widows of our church. And our church loves our widows. Amen? And I got to visit one who watches online. She's not watching right now, but when I get done, she said, send me the link because I want to watch it. I asked permission to share this with Sister Ruth Mitchell. That's her name. Sister Ruth, hi. And she said, Pastor, because that's what she said, Pastor, I had a dream. And I dreamed that Jesus had returned. And I was so happy. I was so joyful. I was rejoicing. I was worshiping. But then I woke up and I was sad. And this is what I told Sister Ruth. Sister Ruth, I wish that every believer had the same yearning, not yawning, but yearning for Jesus to come back. But the fact of the matter is that the ascension creates on those who believe a great desire for Jesus to return. For those who are waiting for his return, it creates in us a great anticipation of the blessed hope. It creates in us a hope of glory that we say, oh, Maranatha, please come, Lord Jesus. This world is not my home. Keep it. I'm gone with you. The ascension, very quickly, and I'm going to wrap it up, marked and signal the sending of the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. It marked the beginning of Jesus preparing a place for you and me. Remember when he talked about, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions or dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. This is so personal. And if I go, I will come back and receive you unto myself. I love that. He's not sending angels to get me. He's coming himself for you. Man, if you don't get excited about that anticipation of his return, I don't know what's going on. We got to feed you something else. Let me tell you, so exciting. Because think about it. How long did God take to create the world and the universe? By the way, now they say there's not just one universe. It's a multi-universes, and it's just galaxies and galaxies and galaxies and galaxies. I mean, our God is awesome, majestic creator. He holds all these things by the power of his word. I get excited about it. You know why I get excited? Because it only took him 6 days. He could have done it in a second, but he did it just for you and I. Imagine what he's cooking up now if it's taking like 2,000 years to prepare a place for you and me. I am telling you, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for them who love him. Do you love him this morning? Oh, I got so much to share. Let me see what I could skip here. I could just imagine. I'm going to have to skip a lot. Sorry. Come back next week. Amen. I like it when you go hungry and you go, I'm coming back for some more. Yes, because we, as a deer pants for streams of water, so does our soul pants for thee, O Lord. And I could just imagine the disciples walking back to Jerusalem after they were just staring into heaven like, imagine you would have been there. Let me get out of here because that light is bright. Now I can see you better. Oh, still there. And you're like, I'm glad I'm short. And you're like, my mouth would have been open without a question. And he's taking the name and saying, hey, guys, do what he says. He's coming back. This Jesus is coming back. But I'm still like, and then you're heading back to Jerusalem, like after you've seen that. I said, what could he do now? How could he possibly top this? How could this get any better? And then in your heart, you're saying, you ascended from before our eyes, and we turn back grieving only to find you in our hearts. Isn't that beautiful? He went to heaven, and we're grieving because we are not seeing him anymore. But he says, don't worry about it. I'm sending the Spirit, and he will be in your heart. I want to end this message by saying what I said at first. But I want to add a little something to what I said in the beginning. So pay attention, please. I want to add a little bit something to the original statement. Indeed, there was the ascension, because there first was the descension that led to the incarnation in humiliation, that led to the crucifixion in passion, that led to the resurrection in glorification, that led to the ascension in coronation. Now watch this. This is it. This is what I'm adding. You heard me say what I just said just before. Here it comes. That would lead to the transformation of our bodies from perishable to unperishable, from corruptible to incorruptible, from terrestrial to celestial, just like the one that our Savior has. He's made heaven our home. He's coming back for us. Let us wait with a glad heart and great hope, great anticipation, and occupy till he comes. I didn't mention it before, but the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, time has been my enemy today, that when he ascended, he gave gifts to the church. But then Paul asked the question, what is that he ascended, but that he first descended to the lowest parts of the earth? But when he ascended, he gave gifts to men. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher, for the edification of the church, because we need to carry on with the proclamation of the gospel, not just here in Genesee County, not just in Michigan, the United States of America, but throughout the world. And he's empowered us so that we could be his witnesses. And we got all the power that we need, the resurrection power. We have all the motivation that we need, the ascension of coronation and the anticipation that creates in us an initiation into doing what God wants to do through us for the glory of his name. Would you please, if you're physically able, stand with me as we pray. And as I pray, the worship thing's going to come up. But maybe you're listening to me and something I said, the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart. And you feel the Holy Spirit drawing you to him. Saying, Jesus died for you. Jesus suffered the crucifixion, the passion of the crucifixion. He rose from the grave, the resurrection and glorification, and ascended to heaven in coronation so that you can have a relationship with God. It's not about going to church or about doing good things. You do that because you have been saved, not in order to get saved, but because you have been saved by God's grace, not of works that you could do. You cannot boast about it. So as we pray, the Holy Spirit is knocking on your door. He's telling you, get saved. I'm inviting you to respond. I've been praying for you. I don't even know you. Maybe you're watching. Let us know if you come to Christ. I've been praying for God to touch you. I've been praying for God that faith will come by hearing and hearing by his word, and that the word of God would penetrate your heart and you will realize that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and no one comes unto the Father but by him. So I'm asking you to respond this morning. If you don't know Jesus, you come as we sing. And if you already know him, maybe you've been depressed, maybe you've been tired, you've been hurt and abused, trampled upon. Remember, Jesus is not going to leave you nor forsake you. His gift to the body of Christ, pastors, teachers, evangelists, to minister to you, to equip you. You come if you need prayer. We want to pray. We've been praying that God would turn our church into a house of prayer. We've been praying that God is going to turn that book room we call the library into a war room. We've been praying that the Spirit of God is going to move in such a way that I won't even have to ask you to come. You just come because God is calling you and you hear his voice. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word never, ever returns void. I pray that those who have ears to hear would hear, that they will realize that if they choose not to bow now, they will indeed bow later. If they choose not to confess you as Lord now in victory, they will call you Lord in defeat later. That if they choose to refuse the payment that you made on the cross for our sins as the Lamb of God, as the Holy One, as the sinless one, they will have to endure eternity without you. That's not what you want. And you want your people who know you already to be joyful. Yes, if anybody in this world has a reason to be joyful, it's the redeemed of the Lord. It's those who have placed their faith and trust in you. So this morning, Lord, we thank you. We glorify you. We join the angel choir and we say, crown him, Lord. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, Lord. And we bow and confess you as Lord and King and Master. Thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name.